Next is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 19th chapter, text number 32, given on December 27th, 1995, in Sri Mayapur Dham.
Translation. Let there be only 99 sacrificial performances for Maharaj Prithu. There are two verses. Since the one that was spoken yesterday with purport, there are two verses without purport. 1, 2, 3. So let me read those English first. My dear Vidura, after giving the king this advice, the priests, who had been engaged in performing the sacrifice called for Indra, the king of heaven, in a mood of great anger, when they were just ready to put the oblation in the fire, Lord Brahma appeared on the scene and forbade them to start the sacrifice. Lord Brahma addressed them thus, "My dear sacrificial performers, you cannot kill Indra, the king of heaven. It is not your duty. You should know that Indra is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, he is one of the most powerful assistants of the Personality of Godhead. You are trying to satisfy all the demigods by the performance of this yajna, but you should know that all these demigods are but part and parcels of Indra, the King of Heaven. How then can you kill him in this great sacrifice? In order to make trouble and impede the performance of King Prithu's great sacrifice, King Indra has adopted some means that in the future will destroy the clear path of religious life. I draw your attention to this fact. If you oppose him any further, he will further misuse his power and introduce many other irreligious systems." And now today's verse. "Let there be only 99 sacrificial performances for Maharaj Prithu," Lord Brahma concluded. Lord Brahma then turned toward Maharaj Prithu and informed him that since he was thoroughly aware of the path of liberation, what was the use in performing more sacrifices? Purport. Lord Brahma came down to pacify King Prithu regarding his continual performance of 100 sacrifices. King Prithu was determined to perform 100 sacrifices. And King Indra took this very seriously because Indra himself was known as the performer of 100 sacrifices. Just as it is the nature of all living entities within this material world to become envious of their competitors, King Indra, although King of Heaven, was also envious of King Prithu and therefore wanted to stop him from performing 100 sacrifices. Actually, there was great competition, and King Indra, to satisfy his senses, began to invent so many irreligious systems to obstruct King Prithu. To stop these irreligious inventions, Lord Brahma personally appeared in the sacrificial arena. As far as Maharaj Prithu was concerned, he was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it was not necessary for him to perform the prescribed Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Such ceremonies are known as karma, and there is no need for a devotee in the transcendental position to execute them. As the ideal king, however, it was King Prithu's duty to perform sacrifices. A compromise was therefore to be worked out. By the blessings of Lord Brahma, King Prithu would become more famous than King Indra. Thus, Prithu's determination to perform 100 sacrifices was indirectly fulfilled by the blessings of Lord Brahma. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Sunyavani Pasitade Pacharani. There was great competition between Maharaj Prithu and King Indra as to who would perform the most horse sacrifices. It's almost a little reminiscent of sports records. Someone is trying to beat the former record. And then he will excel. He will be the champion. The record, the old record, and the old champion will go down. Although with a different motive, Maharaj Prithu was working his way up to the record of 100 horse sacrifices. He was at 99, and he was about to do 100. And Indra became so desperate. So Lord Brahma says, let it be. Let the old record stand. You don't have to become known as the famous performer of 100 horse sacrifices. You live on a different standard. Let Indra enjoy that. And so Maharaj Prithu backed off and left the record standing for Indra, so that he would be most famous. He would remain the famous performer of 100 horse sacrifices. However, by his act, Maharaj Prithu became famous in a different way, in a better way. And his fame would include that he restrained from taking the top record on the request of Lord Brahma. So Maharaj, what is it, what is Maharaj Prithu's fame? It's the fame of a devotee. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the questions and answers going on between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy at the end of Madhyalila chapter 8, Ramananda Roy asks a series of questions. Lord Chaitanya asks a series of questions. What is the best education? What is the best song? What is the best meditation? And quick answers are given, very penetrating answers, of the topmost best thing. So one of the questions is, of all famous things, what is the greatest fame? So he says, the greatest fame is to be a devotee of the Lord. That person who is reputed to be a devotee of Lord Krishna enjoys the utmost fame and glory. Now, why is that better than material fame? Material fame is a temporary thing. Has to do with the body. It comes and goes. You may be awarded a PhD, educational title, or some title. But it has to do with your body, which is a material, temporary designation. When the body is finished, you're finished. You cannot enjoy your fame anymore. Even if the fame goes on in the form of some monument, it means nothing to you in your next life, where you go. So it's temporary. And so those who are wise are not interested in such fame. I think there's a line in Raghunath Das Goswami's Manak Shiksha that advises me, don't be interested in fame. It's as useless as the dung of a boar. So the devotee is not attracted to fame or famous persons of the world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that I would rather be insignificant in my next life. I'd like to be born even as an insect if I could be in the home where devotees are chanting the glories of the Lord. That I'd rather have than the position of Lord Brahma, if that means not being able to chant and hear in pure devotion. Then, in his purport to this verse about what is real fame, Prabhupada quotes Garuda Purana. Out of thousands of Brahmins who have surpassed Vedic knowledge, one person may be a Vishnu Bhakta, and he is most famous. Out of many thousands of such Vaishnavas, one who is completely fixed in the service of Lord Krishna is most famous. Now, this kind of fame doesn't exist in the material world. You can't say that devotees of Krishna are the most popular people. So it's a fame that's enjoyed among, and it's in the spiritual world, it's appreciated, and among great devotees and learned persons, it's appreciated. Prabhupada never thought vox populi was important consideration. Having the majority of votes doesn't determine who's really famous. But we're not talking about that, which is more like Indra's fame in connection with 100 sacrifices. So, out of all the Brahmins, the Vishnu Bhakta is best, most famous. But the Krishna Bhakta is even more famous. And then he goes on in the purport by giving different evidence. He goes on to say that even among devotees of Krishna, there's a verse by Lord Shiva that the most famous devotee of Lord Krishna is Prahlad. And then Prabhupada writes, above Prahlad, the Pandavas are supposedly more advanced. Above the Pandavas are the members of the Yadu dynasty, who are even more advanced in the Yadu, In the Yadu dynasty, Uddhava is the furthest advanced, and above Uddhava are the damsels of Brajadam, the gopis themselves. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the topmost. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are the most exalted servitors of Srimati Radharani and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who adhere to their service are known as Rupanuga devotees. So according to this estimation of true fame and glory, the six Goswamis and their followers, Rupanugas, they're the most famous. So you see, materially, it's almost the opposite, because they're not that well known or appreciated in the material world. So we should not be disappointed for lack of that kind of material fame. We should not try for it, in fact. It will impede our devotional service. In the purport yesterday that Pankajangri Prabhu read, there was also a comparison of the yagyas that were done in those days. And in this age, the Sankirtan Yagya is the only one that can be performed. So, we may ask a question about whether it is all right to desire to be famous for execution of Sankirtan Yagya, which would be different. We're not going to try to be a famous materialist. But what if you want to be a famous devotee? There's a letter that a devotee, Upendra, wrote to Prabhupada asking that question. And is it all right to want to be famous as a devotee of Krishna? Prabhupada said, yes, it's all right. Because then, if you become famous, then Krishna's glories will be expanded. All right. But, and he went on to say, but actually, a pure devotee doesn't desire any fame for himself. Although he wants the glories of the Lord to be broadcast. So it may impede his progress. It can be another anartha in the heart that even while you're performing devotional service, you transfer some of these material desires into religious life and they become dirty things in the heart. I want to be famous now as a devotee or among the devotees. Prabhupada writes, for example, in Chaitanya Charitamrita purport about writing. This is in a verse where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I am writing this book, whether I know it or not, for self-purification. And Prabhupada says, this is the real standard of devotional service. He said, if you write transcendental literature, it should be for your self-purification, not for material name and fame. But if you're sincere, all your desires will be fulfilled. Another example is that of Madhavendra Puri in the incident of the stealing of the condensed milk on his behalf by Kishore Gopinath in Ramona. So, you know the story that Madhavendra Puri was watching the aarti, and he saw the offering being made of the famous, speaking of fame, this is a transcendental fame of the condensed milk that they offered there to the deity. And he thought, oh, I would like to offer that to my deity, Gopinath. And Gopal, and he wanted to taste it. So then when he realized that I have desired to taste it, that's not good, it's just being offered to the deity, he felt ashamed and he left the temple. And he sat in the marketplace and he was chanting. But the Lord knew he wants this, so I want to give him it. So he, when the next offering was made, the Lord, although in his murky form, he hid one of those pots behind his cape. And then in a dream, he told the pujari, I hid one pot. You go and get it now and bring it to Madhavendra Puri in the market. So this was an extraordinary pastime of the deity in favor of this one devotee. And the pujari was amazed and he went into the marketplace and he called out, Madhavendra Puri, come, you're very, very fortunate. The deity has stolen this for you. So Madhavendra Puri very gratefully came and he accepted it. But then, the story goes on. Being afraid of his reputation, Patista, Madhavendra Puri fled from Ramona. So he was afraid that people would come in crowds and offer him all sorts of respect and devotion. Oh, there's the man that the deity stole for. And he would be very much honored. So he anticipated this is what's going to happen. But the reputation brought by love of God is so sublime that it goes along with the devotee as if following him. Let me read from Prabhupada's purport. When a devotee is fit to receive worldly reputation, he is envied by many people. This is quite natural. When a person out of humility does not desire fame, people generally think him quite humble and consequently give him all kinds of fame. Actually, a Vaishnava does not hanker after fame or a great reputation. Madhavendra Puri, the king of Vaishnavas, bore his reputation, but he wanted to keep himself outside of the vision of the general populace. He wanted to cover his real identity as a great devotee of the Lord. But when people saw him overwhelmed in ecstasy of love of Godhead, they naturally gave credit to him. Actually, a first-class reputation is due Madhavendra Puri because he was the most confidential devotee of the Lord. And here's an interesting sentence. Sometimes a sahajiya presents himself as being devoid of desires for reputation, patista, in order to become famous as a humble man. So it's a tricky play here. Such people cannot actually attain the platform of celebrated Vaishnavas. There's also a song in the song by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Oh My Mind, Why Aren't You a Vaishnava? And he says, you're going along to chant in the Hare Krishna in a secluded place just to get some cheap fame so that people will say you're a great devotee. So the mind is devious and Even in acts that seem to be acts of avoiding fame, he's thinking, I'll do this and I'll become famous. So he chastises his mind. Because if we accept this fame, it's like accepting a borrowed plumes, which is actually due to Krishna. Anything that we do, even in devotional service, even in the execution of Sankirtan, is Krishna's mercy, or our Guru's mercy. And they get the credit. So, if we allow ourselves to become famous, or it's not that we allow it, as it happens, that if a devotee does something nice and he's praised, it can be dangerous for him that he starts to think, yes, I did this. Or he could even get into the mood of Maharaj Prithu and want to beat other Sankirtan persons to have the 100 mark or the 1,000 or the 1 million mark that nobody else has. So by these examples, Madhavendra Puri and Bhakti Sanda Saraswati's song, Raghunath Goswami's song, you see the Vaishnavas are aware of this inevitable following of a good reputation, but the danger of it. What they want, instead, is humble service to Krishna, the real satisfaction, and the real glory. So, how to perform this? There is advice for performing Sankirtan in a humble way. In Shikshastakam, for example, Nadanam Nijanam Sundarim Kavitam Vajakadisha Kamaye. There, Lord Chaitanya mentions that I don't want many followers. So, this is, he sees the desire for having followers is opposite the real Vaishnava spirit. And then, especially, Tanada Pisanichina, Turoi Vasahishana, Amanina Manadina, Kirtaniya Sadhari. This verse tells us how to perform Sankirtan. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, picking oneself lower than straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than the tree and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So, the ingredients of Trinada P are, first of all, that you should not have a false designation of yourself, a puffed up idea of yourself. Yeah. And fame will do that. Everybody likes me. I'm always given special treatment. So I must be good. I must be exalted. Or why would they do this? As you live with this. Actually, even famous people, materially, who hanker for it, they become plagued by it. Prabhupada used to describe about Mahatma Gandhi that he couldn't even sleep because people were always chanting, Mahatma Gandhi ki jai. And he said the poor man could not sleep. And he became so disgusted at the end of his life, he said to his secretary, I am so disgusted, I want to die. Their lives become devoid of any true integrity. Although it's what they want, it can become a horrible thing. So the false designation of yourself as so special. Rather, you should think of yourself as lower than the straw in the street. Obscure, very, very tiny, and you have so many faults. Rather infamous than famous. Fallen soul. So this is good for Sankirtan, the Yajna. For chanting Hare Krishna, to think of yourself as very small, and then you can embrace the holy name, because you need the holy name, and Krishna is so great. Again, if I'm famous, then I'm kind of expanding. My empire is expanding, my ego is expanding. So how am I going to approach Krishna? Because Krishna, he's the supreme ego. He's the supreme famous in person. But it's like I'm offering some local competition. That Krishna is famous, but I'm famous too. But let Krishna be glorified. Let Krishna be glorified. Like those two parrots in Vrindavan, one of them sings, let Krishna be glorified, and the other sings, let Radharani be glorified. They're just little parrots, but they're vibrating the glories of the true person. This is who should be glorified. So if I become very, very small, then I can vibrate the glories of Krishna with no sense of competition and no sense of false ego expanding. And then Srinathapi Sunichana advises, be tolerant. So this is exemplified by Maharaj Prithu, that he was being harassed by Indra, but he became tolerant. And then you can go on with your activity of Sankirtan. Although there'll be impediments from outsiders, and maybe even your own mind, by the quality of tolerance, like the tree which bears so much, is forbearing, doesn't complain, doesn't ask for anything. We have to cultivate this for Sankirtan. This is not horse sacrifice, but Sankirtan. I just want to chant Hare Krishna and distribute the chanting of Hare Krishna. So, I will go on doing it, even though there's a resistance. And then offer respect to others. And again, this comes up, that Indra is to be respected as the demigod, as the one who has done more horse sacrifices than anybody. So let him do it. Let him continue to hold his title.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So maybe there's some questions or comments? Talk. Yes? Yes. Prabhupada is famous already. So it's not incompatible that he be famous. Now Prabhupada is very humble. He said, I was the same man before I had all this money and following that I am now. Simply, Krishna sent this man and money. So he didn't become affected by the fame. And rather, he used his fame to spread Krishna consciousness. It's also a fact that even when Prabhupada was at such a high point of leadership in his movement and growing in the world, that it was really Hare Krishna that was famous, not Srila Prabhupada, or with some of the other sadhus and incarnations of India, it's them. But with Prabhupada, people would know Hare Krishna, they wouldn't know so much who the Hare Krishna guru was. But everybody knew Hare Krishna. With Prabhupada, Hare Krishna became famous. With so-and-so, it's he who becomes famous. But in that mood, Prabhupada didn't mind also if he became recognized, if he became honored. He just saw it, oh, good, this is honor for Krishna's servant. It's good, it's right. He accepted it like that, not in a personal way. That's very hard to do and if you have any false ego. So all that we've been saying is not contradicted by the extraordinary behavior of a humble devotee who may accept fame.
and use the fame, which Prabhupada could do. But this is our offering. It's not that Prabhupada asked for this, and he said that I want you to make me very famous all over the world. But that's all. But that doesn't mean it's wrong for us to do, especially after his disappearance. I remember also, when Prabhupada was living, there was a proposal to write a biography. His Bhagavad Gita had some fame, and so someone made a proposal that the publisher could do a biography. And Prabhupada's first response was, why should we have a book about me? There are so many books about gurus. We want many books about Krishna. But after his disappearance, it was fitting that we write about him. Everybody has a biography, why not Prabhupada? So in the same way, taking advantage of this mania, which is universal in the world, that all these different anniversaries are always being observed. And the newspapers is something they can write about. The handle for selling things and for catching attention. 100th anniversary, the bicentennial, in a sense, it's just a world of names. Like now, soon it's going to be the year 2000. And there's going to be a lot of mania about that. But what does it mean? 1999, 2000. But there's great scope for catching people's attention. And in ISKCON, for doing so many things under the banner of centennial. So the one point you're making is, the real thrust is to make Prabhupada famous. So that's our mood. And we feel it's a great injustice that, especially in India, the Prabhupada is so slighted, and they've got, there's so much credit to Vivekananda and Gandhi and Nehru. What about Srila Prabhupada? He's the real one. He did the real work. India has been known as a beggar nation for just going around the world and asking for money, asking for this and that. But Prabhupada said that India has something to give, the spiritual gifts. And he did it, the real gift of love of God, love of Krishna. So it is unjust that he is so not recognized and appreciated in India and around the world. So he's not seeking the fame, but we are for him. Just out of our affection, but out of the sense that it's only just, and it should be done. But even we, we're not trying to make Prabhupada known as God or something. So this is a great servant of God. This is what you should honor, a person who is very humble. His life was so humble, and he was empowered by God. So this is a great person. This is the greatest person. We're honoring him in the right way when we make him famous. Not a famous military general who killed a lot of people, or somebody, a philanthropist who worked in a temporary way for temporary welfare, but the one who worked on behalf of the Supreme Lord so humbly. Yes. Krishna never said, Madana Madana Sundarim. Is that what you're saying? He never said in that mood, I don't want this, I don't want that. Mahaprabhu is acting as a devotee of Krishna, and Krishna is acting as the Supreme Person. Who? We? we're were part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. Radharani is also expansion of Krishna. Srimadya said to her, everything comes from Krishna, including Srimati Radharani. She's the Ladini potency. So, originally we all come from Krishna. On the topic of the class, anybody else? Yes? Yes, transcendental competition. Sometimes competition helps preaching. So that's transcendental competition. Not this, like Indra. It shouldn't be malicious competition. That sometimes such an inebriety has come up in the name of Sankirtan that New York Sankirtan will go down and split the tires of the Philadelphia Sankirtan party or something. What kind of nonsense is that? Then the books of Prabhupada don't get distributed. So we don't care if they don't get distributed. We want to be number one. But transcendental competition helps the preaching. So there's an art to that. And so it should have no malice or envy, but at its best, it's a kind of great enthusiasm to try to please the spiritual master, and everybody competes, aware that that they're dovetailing something within themselves, a competitive spirit, but that's being purified, and they're also aware that the competition is helping everybody. You know, if England is going ahead, then Bombay wants to do more, and they know, well, we're both increasing all over the world. So it's a, it was approved by Prabhupada and even stirred up by him. There was one year the favorite was being, beaten in a book distribution competition by the GBC in Los Angeles. And Prabhupada said, Samal Krishna will have a heart attack. Because he was known as number one. Well, Prabhupada didn't really mean that, a heart attack, but he was like, he was chuckling to himself seeing his young men striving to outdo each other and get the most books, and so he would stir it up. He said, I will go to whatever center distributes a million Krishna books, I will go there. Something like that. Not envious competition. But Prabhupada had to control some impurities there in his men. And he did it with a strong hand if it got out of hand. But in the spiritual world, it's completely pure already. And Prabhupada explains that the one gopi will offer Krishna a beautiful garland, and then when the other gopis see, oh, I'm so pleased, Krishna is so pleased, then they think, oh, I can offer something nice too. Maybe even better than that, so that we'll all see Krishna's pleasure increase. So it's a competition without envy and without malice. One more? Oh. Okay, one more. Yes. You respect them outwardly, but not in your heart. We don't respect the Prabhupada as the big guns of the material world. Why should we? They're not devotees, they're meat eaters and everything. How can you actually respect them? But because they have a post, there's also something there from their karma, or coming from God, great power. If somebody's the prime minister of the nation of India, or the president of the United States, that's a vibhuti. It's a great power that they've been given. So you give them some respect, but at heart, you cannot respect. and try in some way, if possible, to engage them in Sankirtan movement. Is that all right? All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.